Mr. Hopper, greetings. Trust everyone had a good lunch today on a beautiful Sabbath day like today. The legal code of the United States does not specify an official national calendar. I was kind of surprised to realize that. Use of the Gregorian calendar in the United States stems from an act of Parliament of the United Kingdom in the year 1751, which specified the use of the Gregorian calendar in England and all of its colonies. However, its adoption in the UK and other countries was fraught with confusion, controversy, and even violence. It also had a deeper cultural impact through the disruption of traditional festivals and calendrical practices. In most societies, a calendar reform is an extraordinary event. Adoption of a calendar depends on the forcefulness with which it's introduced and the willingness of a society to accept it. Just to gain acceptance for the Gregorian calendar took 3 centuries. And it is still not totally accepted. Actually, in the world today, there are over 40 different calendars in current use. The Gregorian calendar is probably the most common. It's the one that we have today. Its tropical year is approximated as 365 and 97 four-hundredths days. It's 97 four-hundredths because that is what allows us to have 97 leap years in a 3,300-year period. And believe it or not, there's a move afoot now that that's not correct, that we should actually have 98 leap years in a 3,300-year period. And there are people actively still trying to change the calendar that we use today. One of the other calendars in existence today is the Hebrew calendar. It is called a lunisolar calendar, based on calculation rather than observation. It is the official calendar of Israel and is the liturgical calendar of Israel. In many countries still today, they operate with 2 calendars, a kind of a church calendar and a kind of a social calendar. So what's all this talk about the calendar? The thing that intrigued me the most about the Hebrew calendar was the fact that the very first step to determine the date that the Hebrews used to determine their calendar is to determine the day of the week that Tishri 1 falls. Tishri 1 is what they call Rosh Hashanah, or the New Year. Tishri is the first month, and Tishri 1 is the first day of the Hebrew calendar. Turn with me to Leviticus 23, verse 23. My sermonette today is the one that we typically have on holy days. I was glad that it wasn't given this morning. It's the Why Are We Here Today sermonette. There's a lot of material out there for giving this. Leviticus 23 and verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also the 10th day of the 7th month. Whoa. We've already crossed subjects here. In that brief expanse, we got everything that there was being said about this day, the Feast of Trumpets. Basically, it said it'll be a Sabbath rest, it'll be a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. No special fasting, didn't even mention special feasting. Pretty much a run-of-the-mill, everyday, holy day. But did you see also that it said in the seventh month of the first day, and I found it quite interesting when researching all these calendars, that the Hebrews made it the first month and the first day and called it New Year's. I think there's special significance for us in our understanding of that and theirs. By changing the name and the association of the Feast of Trumpets, the day that we come to celebrate, they have arrived at a different meaning. At no place in the Bible does it say that it is a new year. Yet they've changed their calendar to enforce the idea that it is in fact a new year. And with it, they've lost the identity of the holy days that we use. They've basically given up on the idea of God's plan in motion, of the Passover and Jesus Christ's sacrifice for our salvation. They've given up the idea by precluding all items with the new year, the idea of the Holy Spirit coming down on the day of Pentecost. So you see, by changing their calendar, they've also, in their faith, changed the meaning of the holy days. This seventh month and first day is mentioned four times. We've read one of them. In Numbers 29 and verse 1, it breaks into the middle of a thought, several scriptures about this particular day. It says, and in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, Numbers 29, verse 1, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for it is a day of blowing of trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, one young bull, one ram, seven lambs in their first year without blemish, and it goes on. Very detailed instructions back here in Numbers about the sacrifices associated with this day. The next time this day is mentioned, it's mentioned in Ezra 3 and verse 6. If you just go over there, we'll look at what it says there. Ezra 3 and verse 6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. Although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been made, they also gave money to the masons and carpenters and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa, according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. Again, a mention, a context of time that says that this day was celebrated before the temple in Jerusalem was rebuilt. Kind of a passing comment in time, just as a time reference. The last and the fourth case is in Nehemiah 8:2, just one chapter over. Nehemiah 8:2. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, not the hotel. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Again, a timely contextual reference to this day having been celebrated for a very, very long period of time. My purpose today isn't to go into all the details of the calendar and the postponements and everything, because my own personal feeling is we shouldn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out God's Word. But we heard a prayer this morning that asked for a blessing. We asked for God's presence here today. We heard a similar prayer this afternoon. And we have certainly our church's biblical scholars who have researched to bring us here to this day, the first day of the seventh month, the Day of Trumpets, to come before the Eternal and worship Him as He commanded all the way back to Leviticus 23, verse 23. God's calendar is very important to Him, and our attendance here at this Festival of Trumpets is very important to Him. Today is the first day of the seventh month. I'd like to read an article that I found. Just a couple of paragraphs from it. This was from the Good News magazine, August 1954, a short 5 months after my birth. Mr. Armstrong wrote about this very day, "When will Israel be regathered? At the sound of the trump, at the second coming of Christ. Because the churches have forgotten the festival of trumpets, many think that the return of a few Jews to Palestine now is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Christ's direct intervention in world affairs will be the next great event in His plan of redemption. At this feast day occurs on the very first day of the seventh month, so the event it pictures will occur at the very beginning of the 7,000 years. And perhaps the glorious second coming shall occur in whatever year it may be on this very day, the Feast of Trumpets." Who knows? While we cannot say, yet cannot we see this possibility? The crucifixion was on the Passover day, that very day. The Holy Spirit came, beginning the selecting of the first fruits of salvation on the very day of Pentecost. Had not those 120 disciples been observing this annual Sabbath, had they not been assembled there in their holy convocation, could they have received that blessing of the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit? Repeatedly, Christ warned us to watch. We heard that from Mr. Cagles. Watching is so important. Repeatedly, Christ warned us to watch regarding His second coming. Could it be possible that unless we are observing the Feast of Trumpets, as the first century Church of God was observing Pentecost, that we shall not be ready? Again, big part of the messages that we heard this morning about being ready. We do not, we cannot, of course, say, but we can ask that question. Mr. Burke's question of the day: are you ready for the seventh trumpet? Mr. Cagle's question of the day: What must we be doing now? I submit to you, we're doing the first step. We're here on the seventh day, or seventh month, of the first day, the Feast of Trumpets.